A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Lord. So now is the afternoon session, 30th August 2022. Yeah? Supposed to start at 1:30, we are just now, we end late, so we have extended it. So 1:40 we start. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādini. Svākhāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sangham namami. Okay, you all can be seated. We are continuing from where we stopped. We are at page 107. Before I continue, because I was told by Sui, there were some Zoom participants who actually sending some comment this morning. Okay, there are two messages. One is from Susan Tay from Klang. She said, Sadhu Ratio for the revision and reinforcement of faith. Sadhu Kayamitas. And Joyce also came in and sent a comment. Sadhu, thank you so much for the beautiful teaching. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, good, good. Now there's a good news. Sadhu, sadhu. Thank you. So what about your own guest problem? Sadhu, good. Okay. Indy, can you help to continue? Page 107. From the beginning. 20th Heart Sutra class.
20th Heart Sutra class and meditation class on 12 August 2012. Top notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. The first three stages of purification. The seven stages of purification are important cultivation, especially so the first three purifications, which are purification of morality, purification of mind, and purifications of views. Part 2, Heart Sutra class lesson 20, Sariputta, page 47 to 50. 1.2, definition. With precepts and samadhi complete and bright, the pearl light appears. The pearl light refers to the relics of the enlightened one. The wisdom is within you. How do you meet it? Put down your upside down mind and let go of your false thinking or deluded mind. Earnestly work hard at your meditation. False thinking mind is the mundane, deluded, heedless mind. Part 3, meditation. 3.1, developing the meditation. To develop the meditation, the body and mind must be in harmony. That is, they must both be in a relaxed state and at ease. At ease means no stress, no tension, no tightness within the physical body, and no fear, no worry, no restlessness, and no anxiety, etc., within the mind. Both body and mind are completely relaxed and at ease. The stress and tension within the physical body and mental arise because of one's heedless living via lack of mindfulness or attentiveness to live life. The heedless living arises because human beings tend to have a lot of problems and worries. They worry about their children, their education, and their future. Worry about their own health, their career, and work-related problems. their relationship with their loved ones, their financial problem, their investments, business, wealth and possessions, etc. This is the reason why the Buddha said to meditate, one must keep one's precepts to avoid all evil, so that one's karma is taken care of via less heedless living. Hence, this is the reason why the Buddha has advocated the cultivation of the following. Sila, morality or precepts. Samadhi, meditation. Panya, wisdom. And dana, generosity to build up the parami for goodness to arise. Sila, morality or precepts. Bhavana, meditative discipline, which is inclusive of samadhi and panya. 3.2. Question 1. Can one attain enlightenment through only listening and without meditation? Brother Teo answered, yes, and there are many cases of this happening even during the time of the Buddha, like Venerable Kondanya and Sariputta, and many others. Normally, such people are able to awaken only through hearing because of their past cultivation and parami. Most of these people have, in fact, cultivated very sincerely and diligently before in the past. So, that's the reason why in this life, they will have the condition to awaken just via hearing the Dhamma. This hearing of the Dhamma actually corresponds to the first turning wisdom called Sutta-maya-panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or discourses of the Buddha. 3.3. How to apply the Dhamma? 3.3 is question 2. How do we apply the Dhamma to deal with someone who is very irritable, throw things in front of you, and rather unfriendly towards you? Apparently, he is such because of the way he has been brought up, so we can't really blame him, and I don't know how to deal with him. Virtue answered, is he or she one of your family members or friends? Yes, she is one of my family members. To apply the Dhamma is very simple. Just follow the Noble Eightfold Path. She is just the way she is, so have the right understanding or right view to accept her for what she is. Then you will be at peace. If not, you will react and perceive her with the negativity which you had described via your question. This is the suffering that will arise when you are with people whom you don't like, as described by the Buddha under his first noble truth. And the cause behind is your craving born of your delusion. So, to overcome this delusion and craving, you will have to accept her for what she is. Then learn to arise the right thought, pleasant and gentle right speech, following the Noble Eightfold Path to deal with her. Do not react or reason with her because it will not bring about a solution to her so-called problem or negativity as you have perceived earlier. Have love and goodness of heart to understand her. Radiate metta and make aspirations to help her change for the better. All this will help. With mindfulness, observe her and wait the right conditions to counsel her and bring her into the Dhamma fold when conditions are appropriate. Slowly, with patience, loving kindness, and wisdom, she will come to accept you one of these days.
Good. Do you know who asked this question? Huh? You all cannot remember. Sister Manyan. So, when I say slowly, with patience, loving kindness, and wisdom, she will come to accept you one of these days. Yeah, means you have to wait for appropriate causes and conditions, understand? Otherwise, no point. That's why just now in the room also, Sui An was sharing something with me. Then I think we discussed about this example. When they come up the trip here, their driver, because they had this the driver was driving that car, what car? Oh, wow, fine. So actually at Ringland, he turned the wrong turn, go to Kuala Pilau. And luckily the ways keep on telling him, Kuala Lipis, sorry. Keep on telling him, turn back, turn back. Then he told Sian, are we on the right road? Sian said, I think so. But after a while, he said, I think wrong road. Then Sian said, ah, then turn back. Luckily, 2 kilometers. Turn back. Then Sian said, good analogy. When you cultivate Dhamma, it will same. Wrong road, you get lost. Then I said, Dhamma, no ways or no. No ways to tell you you go wrong. That's why you go until Holland also you don't know. So that is a big difference. Then I told Suyan, sometimes people without affinity, you want to help, no point, you can't help. So there was one WhatsApp, remember earlier, somebody sent all my Kayamita book. There are certain things that even the Buddha cannot do. One of them is, without affinity, 无言人不可度. Even the Samasambuddha also cannot help you because you don't have affinity. That's why 缘分, affinity is very important. So in this case, also same. When you want to help somebody, please remember, unless you are very strong and stable in your understanding, then you can see the sign, the condition, then you can help. Otherwise, you try to help, if he doesn't want to accept your help, you're gonna scolding for nothing. It will backfire. So remember this. You must have causes and conditions behind. That's why I use this word. All this will help, but with mindfulness, observe her and await for the right condition. Right condition is what? Let things be. When the right condition comes, you will know. They cannot call from somebody else. Understand? Oh, then they come and tell you, complain. Then you say, oh, no wonder. You want to understand why this thing happened. That time you talk to her or him, she will listen. She's looking for solution. That's why without condition, no point. So the causes and conditions are many. One is that person that you are trying to help has the causes and conditions to receive this understanding. Then he or she is willing to receive. You remember in the early days, Kayamita used to come and say, Ritu, I got this friend now. Can I bring them to see you? A lot of them. You remember in the early days? I always tell them, please, make sure they want to see me. Not you want to bring them. Unless they want to see me, don't bring them. Otherwise, they don't know who I am. If they become, because of coming, get into trouble, I cannot help. But this is nature's law. So luckily, because of that, as I you yen learn, something will happen. Alicia is here, she will know. Many years back, their family good friend Vincent and the wife, Anna, they came and see me in Champaka. The time I was still teaching in Champaka. Then after that, they heard the Dhamma very good. They said, "Pastor Matthew, after that class, I got this friend. Can I bring her to see you?" I say, "Can, but make sure she want to come and see me." Then after that, I think they went and talked to Alicia. Then for 1 or 2 months, I didn't hear anything. Then suddenly, Vincent called me, but today, Tuesday class tonight, they're coming to your house. Oh, I say, Sadhu. That's why after that, Alicia, Yulian learn, have affinity. Straight away after that night session, the whole thing happened. And she continued to have faith, see the light at the end of the tunnel. But when she came here, I can sense her sorrow, her suffering, her misery, built depression for 17 years. That I don't know. But I can sense that. I look at her, she dare not look up. It came with Freddy, it sat one corner there. Then somehow my nature know. That night, I go and share the first and second noble truth with him. Then she only suddenly listening attentively. Then I saw suddenly like there is a radiant inside her facial expression. Like she starts to have a little bit of joy. Means somebody can describe what she is going through. Because she is 17 years, what type of suffering you tell her so she understands. Understand, the first noble truth reality. Then all those that hit her one, wrong thought, all those things she understands. That's why after that, he keep on chasing after Sui Ang for the talk because he knows it's recorded. So this is how it happened. Then later on, she also come to Thursday class. And there is condition, she recovered and over these few years became so beautiful. So this is what I mean by the condition, only do something. Don't be too eager to help. Don't say, hey, my husband lah, or my doctor lah, my children lah, I must bring them to the Dhamma. If you don't have that understanding, you can create unnecessary misunderstanding between them. You know, it is normal for a normal human being who are not enlightened not to be pushed to do things that they don't like, unless they understand, they see the importance. Sometimes you put pressure on them, but you are the mother, or you are the father. I tell you, the kid rebel. Deep inside, they don't like. So, if you do that, that is coming. In future, you will have parents who will do the same thing to you. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, please remember this Dhamma law, the understanding. Unless there is condition, no matter how close to you, how related to you, just let things be. Okay? Continue. Next video.
21st Heart Sutra class and meditation class on 26 August 2012. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1, purification of sila, citta, and ditti. Purification of sila, or morality or virtue, citta, or mind, or content of consciousness, and ditti, or view, followed by purification by knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt, are all very important cultivation. This is especially so for the first three purifications, where one must get it right. The understanding of Dhammapada verse 183 on the advice of all Buddhas is also very important, for it is based on a deep understanding born of right view in regards to the law of karma. Starting, of course, with the first advice, all evils is to be avoided. So our first inquiry must be, what constitutes evils? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evils. So if your mental intentions behind all of your actions, speeches, and thoughts, processes are with these evil roots, then they will condition you to become very evil, hence creating one's negative karma via you reap what you sow. Take, for example, selfishness and anger. Once these evil roots are there, they can condition one to kill and harm and take advantage of a situation for their personal selfish gains. Sankhara, mental states or content of consciousness. There are 52 of them, and some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. So we need mindfulness and heedfulness to be aware of them so that we can avoid all evil via this heedful mind. With heedfulness and sati, or mindfulness, we can see clearly how our mind gets conditioned into negativities, mind states with these three evil roots via our own ignorance and self-delusion. How we get ourselves entangled with the evil mind states of anger, hatred, selfishness, lust, envy and jealousy, fear, worry and anxieties, etc. Through our lack of understanding of the noble truths, thereby conditioning us to grasp and cling onto the unreal, which has the three evil Three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, come empty nature of all phenomena. Without wisdom, we will not understand how we are conditioned into negativity. Understanding the third noble truth, that sufferings need not be if we had developed the wisdom before confronting the first noble truth reality of life and existence, is very important, and that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible once we have awakened to the three universal characteristics of nature. With wisdom and awareness or sati, one can just be aware and let things be via seeing things as they are, and then there will be no more suffering. One can then just accord and flow with conditions without any resistance. Hence, there is no suffering and unhappiness via wanting things our way, which is not nature's way or the reality, which is what is. We cannot argue with what is. Sati or mindfulness, which is the first enlightenment factor and most important spiritual faculty, is very important because without sati, there is no heedfulness, and without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Without sati, one cannot investigate the Dhamma, the second factor of enlightenment. To strengthen one's faith and viriya, one must investigate into the following important Dhammapada verses 1, 2, 21, 22, 23, and 183, and confirm that these truths stand up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith in the law of karma, as explained by the Buddha, to reaffirm our right view with regards to this law of karma. All of sankhara or mental activities, inclusive of all our feelings and perceptions, are impermanent, for they arise and pass away constantly, and are in a state of continuous flux. Thought activities also come and go, arise and pass away. Its birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting its characteristics of impermanence constantly. With wisdom within, one sees it clearly, whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless. My teacher used to tell me, finally, there is only pure awareness, which is the true mind. This I came to realize later when the rather gross mundane or thinking mind collapsed, leading to the true mind, which is just pure awareness and silence within. It is very fine and like no more mind. It is like the pure nature or awareness just shining forth when the mundane mind, when the mundane thinking mind is no more. But there is such a thing as life, even though it is only within the moment. As we have established earlier on, the past is already gone. Hence, it is not a reality anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to happen, so it is also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in existence is only the present moment. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So, as real as it can be, it is there for existence. Or existed, sorry. Again, yeah. So, as real as it can be, it is there or existed only within that moment when it arises. After that, it is gone, dead and gone. So, do wake up and do not dream or sleep anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. As long as you are not deluded to grasping and clinging, then you are okay, and you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, and don't cling or attach to anything, even to memory. Then you will be free and peaceful always. Without delusion and ignorance, you are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by them. The form and mind will be clear to you when there will be no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, hence no longer gullible. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movements and intentions. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your mind's delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling on to your five aggregates of form and mind as the I, the me, and the mind. You will also come to know how your likes and dislikes come to be via your reaction to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experiences when you lack wisdom or yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. You will come to experience all of the four noble truths, the dependent originations or 12 links, and how your mind functions via witnessing the 12 links occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and develop the ability to use a trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. To liberate your mind, you will come to witness how all your feelings arise and pass away like a bubble. All of your perceptions, activities of mind, and mental consciousness also exhibit the same characteristics of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize their anatta and suffering nature within all phenomena. Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 21. Form does not differ from emptiness. Page 51 to 57. 2.1. Form is emptiness and emptiness is form. This concept of form is emptiness and emptiness is form is very difficult to grasp, and most people cannot understand this. There are also some Buddhists of the Theravada tradition who think that the Mahayana teaching is not authentic because they cannot accept the Heart Sutra teaching that said form is emptiness, emptiness is form. But for those who understand, there is no such problem because basically the Buddha's teaching on anatta as presented in the Theravada tradition also gives the same meaning for anatta as non-self, an empty nature of all phenomena, and sunyata or emptiness. For whatever that is impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling onto and say this is me or these are mine, i.e. they cannot be owned and possessed. Ultimately, they are all mind-made and empty because form and mind are all conditions arising phenomena, a phenomenon. Hence, hey no me and hey no you. Also, the Buddha always said, rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Before something exists in space, there is only space or emptiness. So form, which occupies that empty space later, does not have different characteristics with that emptiness space. So in form, you are able to see and understand the principle of emptiness and hence not get attached. If you go direct into the mind, then we will know that all knowing comes from mind, as mind is the forerunner of all things. So everything is only consciousness appearing and disappearing. So how real can it be? This is the reason why it is empty, because it is just a mental image conjured by consciousness, which is like the great magicians, as explained by the Buddha, via his analogy of the five aggregates of form and mind. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature. All phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, exhibit these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature. Take, for example, our in and out breath. our footsteps, our heartbeat, our feelings, our perceptions, our thoughts and consciousness, and our bodily vibrations, etc. They are all continuously arising and passing away following nature's law. See their appearing and disappearing, birth and death, rise and fall, and the moment of its arising, its sustenance, and its disappearance clearly via the silent mind in direct seeing to awaken to their three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, so as to break free from sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. See clearly its conditions arising phenomenon, i.e. how when conditions arise, the phenomenon comes to be, and how when the supporting conditions for its sustenance are still there, then the phenomenon will continue to exist, and how when any other supporting conditions cease to be, then it will lead to the disappearance or cessation of the phenomenon. This will lead to the comprehension of its impermanence and non-self or empty nature clearly. Then you will come to understand that if you try to hold or cling onto things and want them your way, which is not the nature's way, suffering will come to be. This is how you react to your sense perceptions via delusion that conditions your evil roots to arise. Evil roots are the roots of all evil. Hence, they have the power to condition you into negativity via your evil action, speech, and thoughts. This is the reason why heedfulness to understand all of this is very important. And with heedfulness, you will be able to constantly investigate the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha to confirm that they are the truth. Hence, re-establishing your faith and reaffirming your right view. The Buddha Puja, or Buddhist devotional practices, as taught by the Buddha, are very useful practices recommended by the Buddha to help us develop the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, needed for us to perceive and understand his teaching more easily. Silence your mind to do the Buddha Puja with very strong faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching via understanding who he is and how special and great he is. Then bow mindfully. This will develop a very strong, calm, composed mind, leading to the establishment of the Viriya and Sati. Then with a strong Sada and Viriya, you bow mindfully to pay respect or reverential salutation to the Buddha, to decondition the heedless thinking that you have arisen throughout the day, thereby calming the mind to develop a stable sati or mindfulness within. The reason being this constant bowing and chanting of the Buddha's name as practiced by the Mahayana can also help develop the very strong sada, Viriya and Sati needed to develop the wisdom. There are also many benefits that can arise because the bowing or reverential salutation is also a meritorious action. Then apart from developing the faith, we can also make use of these merits to make the necessary aspiration to walk the path of Dhamma smoothly by avoiding all the fools and only meet up with the wise and the enlightened ones so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. When we bow mindfully with a very strong faith of Sada and Viriya, our mind is very calm and very composed, thereby helping us to develop a very stable mindfulness or Sati much more easily. And it also leads us to cultivate humility. At the same time, we exercise our body. Sati is awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought, just a pure awareness within. So this bowing should be done with understanding, i.e. we bow to establish mindfulness or awareness without thought so that the body and mind move as one in perfect synchrony or harmony. Once mindfulness has been established, use it to cultivate the four postures of standing, walking, sitting, and lying down. Then followed by the cultivation of sati sampajanya, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all actions and movements in the present moment, to develop the initial vipassana wisdom born of direct seeing of the three universal characteristics. Only then can we proceed with the contemplation of the four elements and the 32 parts within this physical body of ours, and the nine stages of cemetery decomposition contemplation to finish off the kaya nupasana cultivation. After kaya nupasana, we then proceed to vedana nupasana and citta nupasana, followed by finally dhamma nupasana.
Yeah, I just explain a little bit before we continue. You see, when it comes to the first foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupasana, the first category of cultivation is anapanasati, but not the full 16 stages or step of anapanasati. Because they try to mesh it with the four foundation of mindfulness. Because they read, they saw, ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu, Oma, this is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the purification of mankind, for arriving at the right path leading to enlightenment. So because of that, they try to break the anapanasati into tetra. So they also develop the four foundation of mindfulness via anapanasati. I think there was one monk who wrote one book on this. It's Ajahn Buddhadasa, if you are not wrong. So that one, you don't do. Yeah, he found it from the sutra. There is a Maha Anapanasati Sutta, the long version of Anapanasati, where they can do and do all this. But you don't have to go into that. If you want to go into that, it is going to take you very long, and you may not benefit much. So always remember, Anapanasati, initially, the first category of training is to develop mindfulness. Finish. Understand now? The four foundation of mindfulness is step 8 of the Avijja Sutta. So don't from Anapanasati, before you can even stabilize the mindfulness, you go into that. That's why they develop jhana and all those things. So my advice is, Anapanasati and the Kaya Nupasana is just the initial stabilization of the sati, means mindfulness of the in and out breath, until your breath becomes very subtle, very still, like no more breath. And then don't do anything. Don't go and listen to what some other tradition tell you. Go and do sitting touching. But they cannot feel anything, so they want the feeling to come back. They say sitting touching. But all these are verbalization, understand? They want to bring back the mind. For what? You're supposed to train the mind until it's still, until you realize the true mind, because they don't know what the T is, the actual meaning. So that is probably the reason. So what you do is, when anapanasati becomes very quiet, yeah, I naturally know how to do anapanasati. Then I naturally know how to lead to that subtle breathing, like I hardly breathe, like there was no more breathing. Then I continue to relax and maintain awareness there. Again, the first two support. Then you know what happened? Suddenly, like the breath also, no more. But actually, it's not the breath, no more. It went into internal breathing, no more external breathing. Then I hardly breathe, you know, but I can survive one. I don't have the problem like, yeah, huh, you don't breathe already. How long can you live? No such thing. The whole session when I meditate. Then I realized, when this mind become like that, so quiet, so still, the mind actually realized paucity. Means mind has realized the true mind and enter paucity. That's why your mind enter mindfulness. So when your mind is mindfulness itself, which is the true mind, sati, then everything you do is in sati. Every see, smell, taste, hearing, tactile or thought process, you can see the movement, all in sati. Like it's a specific phenomenal awareness, understand? Then you look at external phenomena, nature's phenomena. Same, the moving car, there is no car involved, but that movement of that car, the awareness and the thing move. That's why I call it specific phenomenal awareness. I had to coin that word, but there's no way to describe it. Then you see the flow of nature, your awareness and the thing move as one. Means you no longer like a person who use thought to heedlessly think and do all those things, labeling, chattering, loss in thought, no more. Most of the time you are just aware, specific phenomenal awareness. Everything is like that, just like what Alicia go through, that is the beginning. Now he can see your, the movement exercise, so amazing. Then later on, he will see nature's flow, movement. Oh. So when you start to see all this, means your awareness is starting to transform, becoming different. Means the mind has entered sati already. That's why everything she do later on, if she continue to sustain this cultivation, that every moment of seeing is in sati, specific phenomena. Then the hearing also, like slow down for you to hear or not, but no slowing down, the actual speed is there. But you can, with that sati, the mind that is in sati, you listen, it's like, it's very clear one. It's like slow to you. Everything appears slow to you, magnified. Then your smell, your taste also same. I remember I tested myself, I walked through the Pasar Malam. You know, Pasar Malam, a lot of good food. One. So, that's why it come. At the moment of contact, that how that thing, that's why with that type of mindfulness that is so stable, you can be at the moment of contact, then at the moment of feeling, at the moment of consciousness, then how that feeling become that, if it's a very nice flavor type of food, you will know, it's aware. But it does not go and like, oh, I must go and buy, very nice. You cannot, because that time I was testing the mind. Then after that, I passed by the Waitsakai there. There is a drain, very smelly. Then I realized, if I have the condition to smell, I am nearby, understand? And this is very natural. You have two choices. React to it and become miserable, understand? Develop aversion. If you accept it, you just go through it. Then that smell that is in sati, you will just smell it. And you know, this one is that type of smell, but you don't react on it. Because that is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then you move on. You want to avoid, move away, you move away. But you are mindful, you are aware. You make that choice or decision based on understanding. So this is how it differs. Then later on, I realized a lot of things I do, everything is in sati. Not only smell. When I eat and I taste, all in sati. Then the tactile sensation and feeling also, no word one. Anyway. Oh. Then that thought process through memory, how it come out, how it input the content, how the views, opinion, cause all this movement, that stability of mindfulness and awareness after mind enters sati, really become very different. That's why I used to share with you all and hinted you all in the early days. Unless you develop the daily mindfulness until very stable, you have not started the real awareness-based meditation, the deep mindfulness meditation. The daily mindfulness must stay, but otherwise you cannot be heedful in the midst of life. Now you understand. Yeah? Okay? Then after you develop anapanasati until the mind enters sati, then you can do the four posture very easy, standing aware, sitting aware, walking aware, lying down aware. Then the connecting movement, sati sampajana. All these things, that's why I recently told you all. When you are in a retreat, you have the condition. Everything you do aware, the blinking of the eye, the turning of your head, or whatever. Even you walk, every part aware. When you eat, your hand move. when you look at the food, when you smell the food, aware, understand, aware from inside. This will build up the momentum for continuous awareness, become ever mindful, constantly meditate. Then you enhance your religious routine. That's why I say, come in, pay respect. Before you go, pay respect. When you are under training, you have to do that. Understand now? Then after that, whatever you do, how you reach your cushion, how you actually sit and put yourself into that pose, everything aware. Until that one become a part of you, until that mindfulness show up. Right? Then how you arise. Then whatever you want to do, your hand reaching out. Then when you take and drink, you can be aware, mindful, within the moment. Relax, be natural, walk, walk. Then after the first three, the fourth one is what? The four elements. Understand? You can contemplate the four elements. The four elements is actually based on the, what they call, related to the five daily contemplation. You are of the nature to what? Grow old, get sick, and die. For this form, physical body has not gone beyond. Why? Yeah, they are made of elements, understand? There is no knowing inside. So this way of subdividing the element during the Buddha's time is actually considered very smart or very, how you describe it? And not advanced. He make it like very simple, no? But very appropriate and relevant, no? Because as a science student, we know chemistry, the number of elements or periodic table, you know how many or not? Why you want to go to that extent? These four cover everything. Part of it is what? Form, solidity. Everything solidity one is the element. Then within our body, we have, understand, our bones or everything is solid. Then even our flesh, certain part is solid. Then you got apo. Apo is what? No. Apo is water element. Fluidity, understand? Well, I almost cannot count. If I say yes, it's mechanical. Wayo is wind element. Tejo is heat element. Even though Pali, I never memorize. Why did I know? Because I understand the element. Then the Pali word become like, to me, very clear, very direct. So fluidity means what? We have our blood, we have our saliva, we have our whatever serum and all those things. So these are the one that has fluidity, means there is cohesion. Understand? So everything that has this type of characteristic, like oil and all things, has this element, which is apo. Then wayo is wind element. Within our physical body, what is the wind element? Your breath. Understand? Your breath. Then, do you know your backbone and all these things together with the physical structure? You need the wind element to stay out. Your lung also need the wind element to stay out. You understand? So all this, if you are mindful and aware, then I saw all these things. Then the heat element, if your temperature out of 37 degrees Celsius or 98.4 degrees Fahrenheit, then you have tendency or condition to fall sick already. Understand? Because this body is very sensitive. So these are the four elements that need to be regulated, balanced. Yeah. Then when you look at it, it's just like, this one got no consciousness, I realize. And this physical body that we call Rupa consists of only these four elements. And these four elements are nature's element. They go the way of nature. That's why they will go through aging. This is the most thing. You can come up with scientific thing that you eat and slow down your aging as well. You continue to inject, the doctor will know, growth hormone, then it prolongs your aging. But how long can you maintain it? But this one go the way of nature. Ultimately, consciousness separate, you also gone. Then you cannot maintain really. So these are the reality that you have to understand. Then the four element to me is when you understand that they are not the whole thing, it's only element that goes away of nature because there is no consciousness inside there. No consciousness, no knowing, how can it be you? Understand now? That's why the form is not me. Straight away I know. Where there is no consciousness, it's only element. Then the 32 part. Why the Buddha asks you to contemplate 32 part? The first reason is the foulness of this body. You think very handsome, very beautiful outside. Outwardly, when you are young, like a flower. When it fully blooms or fresh, bloom, beautiful. After 3 days, you can see decay already. This one very fast. You can see. That's why the offering give us that understanding. We have the Buddha advice with all this offering has its meaning. So you can reflect on the impermanent characteristic because the flower is very good. We call it what? Ephemeral. You heard of this word? It doesn't last. Ephemeral. It doesn't last. Very fast decay. So flower can show this very fast. So like we chant. Yeah? This is the reason why all this offering, clear water, incense, flower, fruit, got meaning. We have it in our chanting book. Understand? So the impermanent characteristic is to give us the urgency to cultivate, understand? Like marana, no sati. At any time, your form and mind can just decay and consciousness separate and you're gone. Then don't be deceived by the temporary beauty. Understand? You look inside all the parts. A lot of them are very filthy, very ugly. Then there was one show, video one. That one very interesting. This lady tried to like con the doctor, like create what they call with a motive, a schema, and try to trap the doctor. So he pretend to like faint down there. So this doctor, very compassionate, stop the four-wheel driver and try to wake her up, no? Then try to help her, no? Then put her to the back of the car, like want to take her to the hospital. You know what the girl did or not? He grabbed the doctor. He said, I really want to marry you. I love you. You know what the doctor did? He said, stop. Then he took out his x-ray photo. He said, you are only this. The girl, I got a shock. And just forget about the whole thing. Now, to the doctor, every day they see now in the operation theater, in the surgery room, you go and see a gynae worse. Understand? Every day they inspect that area. So you must understand this is to let you see that this thing go the way of nature is full of filthy things. Understand? Your shit, your urine, your tears. That's why they said we have 9 aperture. You realize that 9 aperture. We got our eye, 2 eye, 2 ear, the aperture, the nose, 2, the mouth, the anus, and another one where. And there's a book that wrote, The 9 Hole of Jake. You heard of this one? When I was young, I saw this book, The 9 Hole of Jake. Then I was thinking, what is this 9 Hole of Jake? Actually referred to the human being. Understand? So when you have this understanding, then the 32 part become different. The other thing that the commentary and the book never write on is which one? This 32 part is actually like the block cut. Understand? When you disassemble the parts together, the block cut is gone. But when you put it back, you perform a function, you give it a name, arise, exists really. Understand? So it's only the part that come together that animate this one. That's why once the spinal cord, the vital organ gone, the brain. Brain sometimes you can survive. Certain part gone. Like they have this stroke or what. I think Janta or not. Then that part affected. Then you lose the ability. So the left brain. But if you have mindfulness, it's different. The mindfulness cannot be affected by the physical. Well, my consciousness came out before. And I realized without the physical senses, I can hear, I can see. I can like exist up there. Yeah. So this consciousness awareness is different. It doesn't need the physical senses to actually perform all this. That's why those who out of the body experience, they can see. Understand now? They can hear. But they speak, you cannot hear, you cannot see. Understand now? So these are things that if you don't meditate, you don't have this experience, you don't know, you don't understand. Then you like hear say, yeah, mo kam yong yeah, true or not. You know, you don't understand. But then I came out when I was 8 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, I forgot. Then my consciousness was up there. Then I couldn't go in. My brother went in, so I saw all those things. Then I called him, he cannot hear me. Then later on, somehow I knew I had to go back to take control of the body. I went in, I cannot take control. So that time I give it a push, I struck a pump, I went in. Then when I have control, I straight away ran out and looked for my brother and asked him, did you went in and say all those words? He looked at me and said, how do you know? You were sleeping like a log. He said, cannot even move. I said, never mind. I just want to confirm that I was not dreaming. But actually deep inside, I know I was not dreaming. But that time I was so young. I don't know what this thing is. That's why now I know that consciousness can come out. That's why when you die, it's that random of consciousness come out. Understand? There is such thing. Some people call it the soul, the spirit. But it's none. It's just this. Whatever consciousness since birth, the rebirth consciousness that you go through life, you develop the conditioning, the views, is actually with the content of consciousness all from the brain and the memory that you accumulate. And this is what it is. You carry this memory, this content, this consciousness becomes that. That's why the fear, the selfishness, the delusion, the anger, everything there. That's why when they die already, especially the mother-in-law or whatever, the conscious come out. Whatever you say, the mother-in-law can hear or not. But the mother-in-law cannot do anything because he don't have a physical body. He only get angry. So be careful. Don't think that they die already means die. Then that thing can create karma, I don't know. Although he don't have physical body, he can hate you or not. Then he can come and disturb you. That's why the eerie feeling and all that. You remember the Therakuda Sutta? You must have what they call gratitude, respect, and treat the departed relative properly. Understand now? Then help do merits to the triple gem under their name, in memory of them, I will say. Because otherwise, they come and disturb you, haunt you. That eerie atmosphere feeling. You go and read. Is there? When I have time, maybe I read. Then you understand. So all this, the non-human, they exist. Yeah, they're going to come out because of their attachment. They continue to stay. Understand? Of course, some, they use this, what they call Bardo theory, the Tibetan one. They say you are like in transition. But forget about this. Maybe there is truth. I don't know. But what they tell you 49 days or what, please, there are some stay very long. Because of the attention. There are some very fast, they understand the thing dissolve, gone. It's like you burn a lot, understand? You burn until almost finished already, then towards the end, the flame all gone. What is left is the smoldering with the ash and all. But if the log still quite a lot, the smoldering sometimes can be very long, unless the rain or what. So it is similar, depending on the karmic behind and the delusion and all those things. So all these things, you can understand. The other thing is, hey, how did I come to here? I was talking about the 32 part. Then how did I come to here? Huh? Yeah, how did I come to here? The consciousness come out all those things. No, if it's a block card, how did I come to there? There must be something. Why did I talk about that? There is something before that, must be one, otherwise I won't talk about that one. Oh, the four elements. The four elements. Then, because there is a consciousness trapped inside, understand? From there, it come out. Yes? That consciousness is separate from the form. That's why the form are four elements without consciousness. Anasana. So that consciousness, the condition that animate the human being, are the three things. A physical body in its working condition. And now I recall it. I said, Dr. Jan Tao will know. Why? The brain get damaged. You remember? Yeah, the two part, the brain get damaged, or spinal cord wider again. And then the brain get damaged at the time, a lot of other things can happen. Understand? Then the consciousness can come up. There is no such thing as death. What is death? Separation of consciousness from the form. If at the moment of death, you don't have avijja, no more rebirth consciousness unless you are bodhisattva. You have the four basic vow, then you will continue. Understand? But the rebirth consciousness is over already. This random come up. Understand now? This is not you anymore. Yeah, but it has separated, but it still has its what they call energy. You don't have a physical body. Like you get angry, you want to whack you, cannot. Sometimes you feel a little bit of chill, your energy, understand now? Yeah. Or they can cause eerie environment, but they don't have physical body. So why you fear ghosts? You are actually more powerful than them. Because you have a physical body. But you know, you go and hear all this, listen to all this, especially Chinese tradition. Eh? Dark place got ghosts from can't see you. So when you go to that place, that fear starts with you. Nothing. Listen to PG sharing.
You know, like you were saying, via they don't have physical bodies. You nothing to fear them. But like you say, you can feel them and you know that there is something, it's enough to freak you up.
You know why it happened, huh? Yeah, you project your thought. You believe your thought. You have been so conditioned by your belief system, your tradition. Why the masala? They don't scared one. Huh? To them, they go to cemetery, no problem. Huh? Understand? Huh? They bring flower, sometimes bring girlfriend. Understand? Huh?
Bok Mun say he carry food to Kenny the dog. He walk past the side.
The energy difference could be due to other things, understand? No, he said, God will say, just now he delivered the food. He felt the, I don't know, he didn't say, he said the energy different.
The
colibrium there. That is because sometimes he senses, he can feel, understand? But sometimes you must also know your thought project. No? Because you see that one, like you see cemetery, more quiet little lumps, you know. You see all the dead one there. Understand? So you have to find out. You cannot just jump to conclusion. But you say you can feel true. That one is real. But I haven't finished. That one is real. But it could be really non-human there. Then he senses it. But it could be the thought project. They'll pass by that. So when the thought through memory, through your views, opinion, conditioning, and tradition, belief system, this thing can happen, anything. But what I'm trying to share with you is, they don't have physical body. Why you fear that? Yeah, I tried before. I silenced my mind. I went to one of the emitter's house. I think upstairs, go on. So downstairs, the toilet, she was using, washing everything. So not convenient to use. So I said, you have toilet upstairs? He said, yes. So I went. As I go up the staircase, I can sense it, pretty strong. Then I silent. Then I communicate. I mean no harm. Because I'm like an intruder. So I say, we are friends. I am here to actually at their invitation. We are academics, friends. Then I want to use the toilet. If you are not happy, you don't want me to go, never mind. Then I wait. I can feel that energy, that very negative energy. It's like telling you, don't come up. I didn't go. Then I say, thank you. Then I just stay there. I stay there at my You will call this the gateway there. I stay there. And nothing. There were other incidents where I just silent my mind, like nothing inside there. The entity, everything gone. They're very brave on that one. Whatever come. Yeah, what can you do to me? At the most, even you are very violent, yaka or what, with the spiritual power, you can only damage this body. There is no one inside there. You cannot kill the nature. Don't have fear, nothing. That's why I say, when you have the wisdom and the understanding, it's possible, not impossible. Okay? So we finish, yeah? Then after that, only you do the 7-3 contemplation. To me, not so important. In the ancient day, they have to do that. Where they want to let you see how the form goes the way of nature, how it goes through the decomposition, so that your craving, your desire, your lust for the beautiful form disappear. Understand? Because ultimately, like the Christian Bible say, yeah, from ash to ash, you remember? Because you come from element, you go back to the element. From ash to ash, you return. So all this is during the ancient time. You need to reflect this, but during the ancient time, the teaching has to be this way. That's why it's taught. But the last one, nice the year of 7-3 decomposition, and even the four element, you don't really need much time to waste on those cultivation. You understand it, finish, move. Then, Vedana, Chitta, Dhamma, Nupasana. Okay? Okay, we continue. What's the time already? Oh, so fast.
10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 more minutes. Okay, I will go through. Yeah? 22, 22nd Heart Sutta class and lesson. Yeah? The meditative mind. This one is 2nd September 2012. The meditative mind must not only be calm, but it must also be mindful and heedful within to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. It is this meditative mind that is aware, mindful, and heedful that can understand how the mind stirs and becomes afflicted. We have one's delusion or wrong view or ignorance that condition the evil roots to arise. It will come to understand its origination factor clearly as to how the evil root comes to be. It will also come to understand that before the evil root was there, the mind was originally very peaceful. Everything arises naturally via condition arising causes, and all phenomena exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkang, and anatta. Then via dhamma nupassana, cultivate the six internal and six external sense bases, one will clearly understand how to trace the origination factor behind the stirring of the mind, and how one can retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. The moment your mind stirs, Dhammapada was one will take its course, hence conditioning one's suffering, like the wheel that follows the hook. So this one is what Sui just now say. Once you understand this, you will never allow it to be happen. You don't go and justify, everybody also like that. Man. Then you think it's normal, you don't want to do anything. No. Just like that day, what was it? I think Sister Han, Pocheng, at the Thursday class, you remember? They get lost. He said, I old school, ma. Remember? I don't know how to use the ways. He said, I old school. You can continue to justify this or not. But end of the day, whether you're old school or new school, you have to develop the understanding. Otherwise, you fall behind. But if you are satisfied with what the thought justifies, I old school, ma, then you never move from there, you know, understand? No? Like some people used to tell me, but you my karma, ma. I don't have that past, ma. I don't have that nature, ma. I'm not like you, ma. If people tell you like that, it's just like asking you, not asking me, what is meditation? But please teach me how to meditate. This guy surely one instant million, instant noodle one, quick one, quite so five, whole five so one. Understand not? Where got such thing in this world? So if they are like that, means their attitude is they are so deluded. Understand? Everything also justify, so that they don't have to do. Understand? So life, please, like I always say, you hold the key to your own life destiny. You decide how you want to live. If you choose to be heedless, like allowing the thought to justify, nobody can help you. Like the Buddha, there is a Buddhist hymn here. No one help you by your but yourself. No one will and no one may. You understand this Buddhist hymn or not? We ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. You heard of this hymn or not? In the university day, I heard until now, I remember. Yeah, it strike me. That is what the teaching is. So you go and justify means what? No need to walk the way. Because the Buddha can only show you the way and teach you the Dhamma. Like my nature, share and let you know the understanding. If you choose to go back the old way, heedless way, then that is your life. You decide to be heedless. Then no need to do anything. Understand? Yeah. Contented with what the thoughts say. But if you are a cultivator, you are determined, you look at the teaching, you understand the teaching, you will never become heedless anymore. Understand? Yeah, this brings about downfall, suffering, misery. And your life, you know, life after life, you come, you become like that. You might say, don't come. You know? But you got no choice. Karma bring you. You have to come. So that is where the problem is. Okay. 5 more minutes. Ah, yes. Ah, yeah. Then the retreat, I think, come later than Ananda. Ah, no, Dr. J. I got to put out one night in Kuala Pila. Not Kuala Pila, but Lipis. But luckily, your driver.
If there's technology, we have to use technology like Zoom. You can't say that.
Yeah. No, do not blame technology, understand? Technology is like thought or money. Neither good or bad. It depends on the user, understand? If the user don't know how to get technology, use the technology, with the technology also get lost. I say I old school ma. Then it's not the technology, you know. He's trying to say I old school ma, I don't know how to use. That's too sophisticated. Like that, with the technology also no use, understand?
Yeah,
he also know how to use. He also know how to log in the Zoom. That's why I say it's not technology. It's not money. It's not the thought. It's the user behind. Understand now? So, wake up. Understand? The user is who? That consciousness with understanding. When you don't have understanding, you become a lousy user. Deluded. Heedless. Then you get into trouble. That's why heedlessness is a path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Please wake up. Determined to be heedful. Not that difficult, understand now. For support, the first 3 things, aware, relax, maintain awareness, then 24-hour awareness. So difficult, man. Understand? Like Posey said, have patience, do until it comes. Don't stop halfway. Understand? Don't give up. Because it involves our entire life now. What how to do it? Monitor, 19 weeks, counting. Understand? Manyuan, look at the whiteboard. This missing step, do, counting. Then why you say cannot? Why other paramita can? It can be done. It's just your understanding, your faith, your determination. Whether you have the will, the perseverance, the faith, to go this way. Okay? Yeah. I think I have to end very well. Oh, 116, huh? Paragraph, the last paragraph or second last. Oh, okay, second last. Okay. The meditative mind will understand how the mundane mind got caught. With understanding, it will no longer be deluded. To really see and awaken to this truth or understanding, one needs a very stable mindfulness. See, everywhere the emphasis is very stable mindfulness. Take for example a case where a Kayamita's friend passed away. Suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to heart attack, the Kayamita said, today I am very sad. So I asked her why. She said because she had a very good friend. for the past 20 plus years. I asked her again, do you know why you are so sad? And who is sad? Who is the one that is sad? You know what the answer is? As usual, she said, attachment law. Then I said, most Buddhists answer this way. And because of that, very likely they will not develop the wisdom. Because they never inquire, reflect, and contemplate deep into the Dhamma that had a reason. As advised by the Buddha under the second turning of the first Noble Truth, the first turning is proclamation of the Noble Truth of Dukkha, leading to Suttamaya Panya. Then under the second turning, the Buddha said, this Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood, leading to Chintamaya Panya. So the inquiry will enable you to investigate via mindfulness and heedfulness to realize that it is the mind that has been conditioned by her wrong view or ignorance that conditioned her to cling onto her thought that arises via her memory of her good friend of 20 plus years. Hence, confirming the Buddha's final summary of the first Noble Truth that state in short, it is due to ignorance or sakyadity that condition one's grasping to the five griya form and mind that I call dukkha. So the cause of suffering, which is craving or grasping and clinging, conditioned by her own self-delusion or sakyadity, led her to cling onto her mental perception, memory, and consciousness that condition her pure feeling into sadness or suffering. It's only a form of mind, not so real. We are all conditioned arising phenomena are not permanent, unchanging entity that one can cling on to and say, this is me, this is I, and therefore, these are mine. Do reflect deep into this and awaken to its three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta to break free. Then we will understand that there is no one to be sad, and also no one born, no one died. Contemplate and reflect deeply and inquire, why am I so deluded? Why can't I wake up to this truth? Who can remember who is this Kayanita? Ah, wow, you all know. Oh, sadhu. Yeah, Thursday class. Yeah, she was very new that time. That time very new. Wow, good. At least people remember. Chop Ni Ching, 10 years ago. Very good. Okay, we stop here.